everybody, it's Michelle Fisher, and welcome into A View From My Window. As always, I thank you for joining us today. Today, I have one of my favorite guests, Michelle Trevetti, manager of the ARCS Insurance Advocacy Resource Center. Now, usually we focus on insurance topics when I interview Michelle, but today we are talking about family life to learn more about how her family thrives and brings about autism awareness in their everyday life. Hello, Miss Michelle.
Hello, Michelle.
It's great to see you.
Great to see you as well.
Thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
Let's talk about how you bring autism awareness in your everyday life. Let's talk about the diagnosis of your daughter, Ellie. And how was that for you? Did you understand about autism at the time and what it would involve?
Well, the autism diagnosis for my daughter was an interesting journey. She is about to turn 21. So
that's hard to believe.
Yes, it's hard to believe for me as well. She's about to turn 21. And so this was, you know, quite some time ago. And autism awareness in general was not as strong as it is today. And so really when we were going through the journey of getting her diagnosed, which took us about 18 months to finally secure a diagnosis, what I knew about autism was very little. It was the movie Rain Man and just some anecdotes here and there, maybe some things I'd seen on public television here and there.
Sure.
And I come from a medical family and a family that has worked in healthcare, you know, my whole life. And so I didn't know that much about it. And so it was a real education journey as well. We had a hard time getting my daughter diagnosed because she's a girl. I was told she can't have autism, she's a girl. I was told she can't have autism, she speaks. And so just getting the diagnosis was really difficult. So there was also a lot of, even though we were researching autism on our own mm-hmm. and trying to pursue that on our own, there was also a lot of self-doubt. Like, well, the experts here, the doctors here are telling me it can't be autism, but yet everything I'm reading is making me think she does have autism. And so am I overreacting? Maybe I should just wait and see. And so that was really, really tough chasing that diagnosis down. I was almost relieved when I got it.
You said it took 18 months because they thought she was a girl and this and that. But were there signs you were seeing? And what were those signs?
The signs that I was seeing with my daughter was a lot of regression, actually. She did speak, and she had a pretty big vocabulary for her age at one point, but then she started losing those words. She stopped using simple full sentences, I want a cookie, I want a cracker. She used to point, and she stopped pointing. It would just stand in the kitchen and scream. And I'm thinking, you know how to say this. Why are you standing in the kitchen screaming at me?
Mm-hmm.
So it was really that regression that was the most concerning to us. And then also just noticing that when she was a baby, she took much more interest in other babies. But now that she was a toddler, she was more interested in playing by herself. And she started moving her fingers in front of her face and really concentrating on her fingers, which I didn't know at the time was a self-stimulatory behavior. I just thought, that's odd. What's the fascination with the fingers?
Mm-hmm.
So it was those regressions and those new behaviors that seemed odd to me that really got us concerned, but especially that language regression and that loss of using her words.
And as you process, I mean, that is a huge thing to process, you know, that she's now regressed. Mm-hmm. Now what do we do? So
sure.
after you process that diagnosis, what were the next steps then?
For us, the next steps, the diagnosis, as I said, it was almost a relief when we got it, because when you're dealing with an unknown, there's not a lot you can do. So
sure.
When we finally got the diagnosis, I thought, well, great, now there's something we can at least do about this. We can do research, we can look at treatments. And so the diagnosing physician who was here in Central Indiana, I said, well, I need a treatment plan. And he said, well, why don't you call Susan Hansen? And I said, oh, Susan Hansen, okay, she's a specialist in autism. No, she's a mom of a kid with autism. And I thought, Okay. If I had any other medical condition, I would be getting a treatment plan right now. There would be a game plan. I got no game plan. So we basically had to call other parents. I called Susan Hansen. She was a wonderful woman and a wonderful resource and a very nice person. And she did, you know, send me in some good directions. But really it was us figuring out what we needed to do. And so luckily, my husband being a physician and myself being a health administrator, we did research on what's the best evidence-based practice for treating autism. And so we found applied behavior analysis therapy, except for there was only one provider in the entire state of Indiana, and that was Vince LaMarca with the Lovaas Institute. So it took us about 6 months to get in to have an evaluation with him. And so during that time, was getting school set, developmental preschool set up, and trying to get occupational therapy and speech therapy at Easter Seals set up, and did that. But it really wasn't until she started applied behavior analysis therapy that we saw improvement and saw improvement in her other therapies after having done that for a while.
And I said in the introduction that you and I have talked about ABA insurance, and people don't know that your daughter was the first child in the nation to gain autism treatment coverage under autism health insurance reform. So prior to your daughter's diagnosis, you had a professional career in health services administration, like you were talking. How did you make that transition from the world of work to the world of advocacy? And how do you continue to do that today?
Well, my passion has always been in improving healthcare for people. And so so it really, in becoming a health insurance advocate for people with autism, and specifically my daughter, it was for me a big transition, in the sense that I went from, you know, managing people and managing processes, but it really gave me a good knowledge foundation of how insurance works and how managed care works, and the language of the insurance industry. Also, coming from a medical family, I understand how physicians are trained, and having lived through training with my husband and his training, and that really gave me a nice advantage in terms of being able to understand their viewpoint and where they were coming from and what they might be looking for in a treatment plan and when assessing whether or not something would be covered. When I was a health administrator, I worked on a committee that was doing the benefit design for a health maintenance organization for one of the places where I worked. And so having that knowledge of the kind of the inner workings of the insurance industry was really helpful in making that transition. You know, and it's very personal when it's your child, but I tried to really just focus on the bigger ramifications of, if I can win this battle for my daughter, it's going to open up insurance coverage for every other child in Indiana and for many, many other children across the country. Because we did have the first insurance mandate passed here in Indiana back in 2000. And if we couldn't get that enforced properly, I was very concerned that the rest of the nation, you know, wouldn't be able to follow. Sure. And so it was just really focusing on that big picture, while at the same time trying to manage a child with autism and hiring ABA therapists. There were no ABA centers at the time. We were also filing our own insurance claims on paper and, you know, doing all of that. So it was quite the whirlwind. I think it was luckily I was too busy to worry about a lot of things at that point in time. And sometimes that's a blessing.
Well, I think that what you were saying, is there a time where you go, how did I get through that? Because there was a whirlwind of emotion. There was, how will my daughter live with autism? And what's the ramification? I mean, how did you keep yourself strong enough to keep going through the process?
Yeah. I think one thing that really helped, a good friend, Liz Freeman Floyd, said to me, autism is a marathon. It is not a sprint. And so it was really taking that long-term view, and also making sure to take at least some time to take care of myself. That's really hard to do when you have a typical child. It's extremely hard to do when you have a child with special needs, but I think you have to.
Sure.
Because if you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of anybody else. So I always made sure that I was at least exercising, you know, at least a half an hour every day, and trying to do, you know, certain things to keep my health up. You know, and there were times where my health suffered but that was the stress, you know, definitely, definitely my health suffered from that. But I think it was always really important to try to take care of myself, try to have some downtime, try to get away from autism a little bit, not have it be 24/7 all the time. And also really, really make sure I enjoyed my daughter for who she was. And that was a journey too, because when you have a child with special needs, you can really focus on all of their needs and all of the things that everybody is constantly telling you they will never do and can't do and all the problems they're going to have. But she's a fabulous person. She's hilarious. And she's so funny and she's so much fun. I wanted to always really very consciously never lose sight of that and make sure that every day I tell her that she is beautiful and she is smart and she is wonderful and that she works hard and, you know, just really make sure I focus on what she can do and all the great things about her and not just the autism and how autism affects her or affects our lives. And she's just a great kid. Adult.
She's not now. A little girl anymore.
Still getting used to that.
What happened? Well, let's talk a little bit about the victory for ABA then. Can you talk about what that meant to you? I mean, you were saying, if I could get this for my daughter, then I can get it for the rest of the state and the families that live here.
Sure.
So talk about what that meant.
That was just, it just meant so much because having health insurance coverage for your primary medical condition, your primary challenge in life is a life changer. It was a life changer for my family. It's a life changer for any family who gets access to health insurance coverage for their autism. Because, I mean, the fact of the matter is healthcare is expensive, mm-hmm. whether it's autism or it's heart disease or it's any other chronic condition. Healthcare is expensive. But our kids are worth that investment for sure. Our society is worth that investment for sure. And the treatments have real life-changing effects for these families. And so having that door open up for families and continuing to work to open those doors up for families is really very gratifying and I enjoy the challenge, but I just, you know, it changes lives to be able to have access to that treatment and to, if you want to access it, and to have the children be able to learn skills to make their lives better and to make them more independent. And we all benefit from that.
We sure do.
We all benefit from that.
We sure do. And let's talk about, I mean, I look at you whenever you come in and interview with me and go, how does Michelle even sleep? Does she have time to sleep? Because you do a lot of work. And let's talk a little bit about that work, because you support a lot of organizations that raise autism awareness. You go to networking events. You talk to parents, caregivers. Doing that networking, does that help you in your own autism journey? We talked a little bit about that a little earlier, but go on and expound on that. Mm-hmm. How does that help you?
Yeah, I think making connections with other professionals and other families, both within and outside of the autism community, really helps me not only in my work, but also as a person. I think that being able to meet with people who have been on my journey, are on my journey, but then also are experiencing completely different experiences, it just makes you a better person. It opens your eyes up to how much more alike we are than we are different. And I think at the end of the day, none of us humans are perfect, but we're all here together and sharing those experiences and helping each other. You know, just really, that's what life is all about. That's what energizes me. And that's what makes me happy, is knowing that I'm at least trying every day to make a world a better place than when I came into it, and trying to make a difference, especially for children who, a lot of times don't have a voice, whether they have special needs or not. A lot of times kids don't get a voice in our world, and I want to always try to be that voice for them, especially those who are challenged with having special needs.
And that's why I love you. That is why I love you.
I enjoy it.
I can understand why you do. So let's talk about, she's 21 mm-hmm. now, mm-hmm. and she's going to get older.
Yes.
So how do you...
I'm not, but she is.
She is. How do you support her in working through the challenge? I mean, adolescence, now becoming a young adult, all of that. How mm-hmm. do you work mm-hmm. through that?
Well, I will be perfectly honest, adolescence was not fun. Her doctor warned me that, you know, if you can get through adolescence and puberty, then, you know, the other side is going to look a lot better.
Yeah.
It's very challenging. It's very challenging. It's challenging for all parents. I think having autism adds a whole other layer of challenge to it. There are a lot of practical challenges. There are a lot of emotional challenges. Mm. And there were some really rough times with self-injurious behavior, with aggression. And we were very lucky and fortunate to have the health insurance funded support of a really good ABA therapy program. Mm-hmm. And we were very lucky also to have an insurance carrier that really looked at medical necessity and didn't look at artificial caps on therapy. Mm-hmm. Because there was a short period of time during the height of those aggressive behaviors where we had therapists at our house every waking moment. And mm-hmm. I think that, you know, when you don't have that kind of support, I think that's when you see a lot of families fall apart and a lot of children end up in the hospital or end up in the juvenile justice system who really need treatment. Mm-hmm. They don't need to go to jail. They need behavioral treatment.
Yeah.
And we're very fortunate to have that, to have fought for it, but also to have an insurance carrier that and an employer that worked with us on that sure. and was doing the right thing and following the laws and providing that service that we were paying for in our premiums. Sure. And that was a big, big difference in being able to get through that very, very difficult time in our lives because we had that support.
Sure.
And then adulthood, you know, it's a whole other set of challenges as you try to get through life. You know, now housing is the big challenge. In the area where we live, there really is not a lot of housing for adults with disabilities. There's a lot of elder housing. There are a lot of assisted living mm-hmm. services for the elderly. But for adults with disabilities, there's really no place that I would be comfortable with. And so we're embarking on the journey of putting something together with mm-hmm. other parents and trying to look at our options and do that. Because as much as I love my daughter and she loves me, she wants to live with her friends. We're, you know, we're cool, but we're not that cool. And so she'd really like to live with her friends and her peers, just like anybody else.
Sure.
And so we're looking at options for that. But again, it's parents kind of getting together and making it happen
sure.
In a way that works for our loved ones. There's no cookie cutter approach to housing, just like there's no cookie cutter approach to housing for typical neurotypical people.
That is true.
And just what's out there isn't really a good fit for her. So we're looking into options on that too. So stay tuned on that part of
stay
the journey.
Stay tuned on that,
that
one.
Part of the journey.
Hey, should we do an interview on that one?
I think we should. In 3 to 5 years.
Yes, we should. So when we're talking about helping people and helping people through a journey like this, mm-hmm. what's the advice you give to parents either starting out on the journey or continuing on that journey to keep going?
Yeah, I think the advice from my friend that it's a marathon, not a sprint, was a really good one. You really have to approach it as this is a journey. Mm-hmm. You're not going to just find a quick fix. There's mm-hmm. there's no magic pill. There's no magic potion. There are a lot of people out there peddling magic tricks and magic potions, but it is it's work, and it changes your entire life. It changes. What it changes all of your decisions, where you live, what church you go to, what schools your kids go to. It even changed my choice of haircut because my daughter used to like to use my nice long hair as leverage to pull herself up, and that kind of hurts. So now I have short hair. It changes a lot of your decisions in ways you would never think about. I drive the car I drive because she can't reach me from the back seat, and she is much safer back there, and so am I in a bigger car. So it does change a lot about your life, but never lose sight of how it changes your life in a really good way.
Yeah,
I have met the most wonderful people in my life because my child has autism, and I think that my my husband and I talk about all the time, that it really makes you lazy. Having a child with a disability or with a special needs really makes you laser focus on not only who's important, but what's important mm-hmm. in your life. And that's been a really huge benefit. Is having that laser focus on, you know, is this important? No. Then why do we care? Why are we even worrying about this?
Yeah.
Let's move on to something that we really makes a difference in our lives and really makes a difference in her life, and let's focus on that. So that's been a real blessing of autism as well.
Well, Michelle Turvetti, I have not known you for very long, but as long as I've known you, I absolutely adore you and love you. thank you so much for your work. I wish you all the best and your family all the best as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
And the ARC Insurance Advocacy Resource Center works to assist families who have a loved one with a developmental disability navigate their private insurance policies to increase knowledge of basic health insurance issues. To learn more, visit the ARC at arcind.org. You can contact Michelle at M. Trivedi, Trivedi, at arcind.org, or call her at 317-977-2375 or 800-382-9100. Link to the article on autism and ABA insurance coverage victory is at arcind.org/news/anthem agrees to settle Indiana autism ABA case. Thank you so much for listening today, everybody. Have a great day today. Bye-bye.